It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sunday. Well, for sure this Sunday, here on News Talk WSB. I hope everybody had a very happy stuffing Thanksgiving. We certainly did. You'll be pleased to know that the Elise Glink turkey recipe came through in spades, and everybody was really thrilled with how everything tasted. My family, everybody likes it just the way it is year in and year out. Makes it very easy for me, and everybody gives me great kudos, but it's not like we're reinventing the wheel every Thanksgiving. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you got a chance to spend some quality time with your family and your friends, and that you are getting ready for us to start, hard to believe, the last month of the year. And that's where we are today. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. I will be happy to pick up your call. 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also connect with me during the show online, Twitter, at Glink. I've already started tweeting out about the show today, at GLINK. If you're not following me there, man, you are missing at least half the conversation. There are lots of things that we tweet out during the show, and I want you to be a part of that as well. And, of course, you can always go to my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. That is your ticket to all things Glink. I'll be hanging out with the folks at WSB in another week or so, talking about our next event, which we are aiming for April. It's going to be a real estate event. It's going to be very, very exciting. Some very big names are going to be joining us. I don't want to give away too much now, but on the newsletter and on our Twitter feed, we're going to be giving you all of the details and, of course, all of the special news associated with it, the special pricing, the discounts, all the cool stuff. So be sure to follow me online, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, and be a part of the ThinkLink community. So I wanted to talk about mortgage interest rates today, but something that we haven't talked about yet, which is the connection between super low mortgage interest rates today and what's going to happen to the real estate market in 5 or 7 years when mortgage interest rates go up. Because, as I've been telling you, mortgage interest rates will go up. I don't predict hyperinflation like we've seen so many other people talk about. I don't see that coming down the pike anytime soon. We know that the Fed has made a commitment to keep mortgage interest rates low through at least 2014, the middle of 2014. So their crystal ball goes out at least that far, which is great. But what you may not realize is that the effect of locking in all-time low interest rates, and not just all-time low interest rates in the United States, which they are, we now have in this country the lowest mortgage interest rates in the world. Nobody has a lower mortgage interest rate than we do here in the United States, at least not that I've been able to find. And that seems to be the conclusion of one of the Forbes columnists as well. So if you've got incredibly low, historic low, all-time low mortgage interest rates, when those start to go up slightly, there will be long-term lasting effects on labor mobility, right? How much you can move to take a job, because you're going to lock in these low interest rates for maybe 30 years. Maybe 15 years, right? And now you want to move to take a different job, and the job's going to pay you, let's say, an extra 10%. And in a normal economy, you would move. You would sell your house and move. Now, if you can sell your house, and maybe you will be able to, maybe you won't be able to, you're going to go buy another house in this new location where possibly housing prices are higher. But for sure, mortgage interest rates in 4 or 5 years are going to be higher than they are today, right? Because what we talk about on the show all the time is that we are seeing historic low interest rates because the economy is in a historically bad place. We're looking at still the worst economy in 80 years. And I don't really care what everybody wrote about Black Friday, which mostly they wrote was not as good as expected, or Gray Thursday, or Cyber Monday. It doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is the idea that you may not be able to move and take that job for an extra 10% because your mortgage costs could be up 20 to 25%. Your cost of living could be up 20, 25%. And you're going to look at your pocketbook and you're going to do the math, really simple math, and you're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't take that job because that's a step backward in my lifestyle. And you'll think about where you are with your house being paid down incredibly quickly, and you'll have some equity, though not a lot, and you'll say, if I make that move, I actually need to earn 20 to 25% more just to stay even. And you may not move. You won't sell your house. You won't take that job. You'll stay where you are because you're going to perceive that you're getting ahead by staying put. And that's what I mean by a lasting effect on labor and mobility. Let's take it a step farther. Let's talk about the demand for new houses and remodeling. Now, remodeling I can see going up because you're staying in that house and you don't want to move, so you need to fix up your house. Excuse me. I totally get that. New kitchen, new bathroom. Where are you going to get the cash from for that? Well, you used to be able to do a cash out refinance, but you don't have a whole lot of equity in your house anymore. Maybe you do, but you can't get that much out of it. So the money you're going to use to pay for those renovations is going to come from savings. So you're not going to take the new job because it's going to cost you more, and you're going to have to use up all of your equity that you have and then some. So are you going to do the remodeling? Maybe not as much. What about moving to a new house? Same issue as before, right? So you've got your same job, but the new house, because mortgage interest rates are up even one percentage point, could end up costing you an extra 20% more just to move to the new house. And that's even with a very small amount. Let's just say you only bump up 25%, but your mortgage interest rate is up 2% now. And, you know, where is 2%, right? It's only 5.5%. Until we started into this recession, I hadn't ever seen 5.5% interest rates. And I tell you this all the time. When I got my first mortgage in 1989, 11.75%, and I was thrilled to have it. That's like almost four times where we are today. Our sense of understanding of what makes a real mortgage interest rate and how that plays out is so different from where it was 20-odd years ago, or 15 years ago, or even 10 years ago. At the beginning of the 90s, in 1993, mortgage interest rates dropped below 7% for the first time in 40 or 50 years, 6.3%. Everybody thought that was a heyday. That is almost twice where we are today. How would you like it? What would you say? What would your checkbook look like if I suddenly said your mortgage interest rate is doubling where it is today? Could you afford your house? Would you want to afford your house? And that's the crux of the problem. Because we are now a nation, a world, used to, because it's been this way for the last 7-8 years, we are used to historic low interest rates. Every week when I write my mortgage interest rate story for CBS News Money Watch, and I write that yet again, mortgage interest rates tumbled to an all-new record low or just bumped up slightly above the record low or whatever, I think to myself, it's been weeks. I had six weeks in a row. It wasn't even that long ago. Every week it went down. Then it bumps up, you know, a hundredth of a percentage point. And what do we hear from the media at large? Not in my columns. The media at large. Oh, mortgage interest rates rising up, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. They're not really going anywhere. It's hard to imagine how much lower they could go. I mean, I think it's ticking a little bit lower here or there. But you want a 15-year mortgage, you're at 3% or less. You may even be at 2.75%. I don't know how much lower this can go. But what I do know is that you and I are getting used to these interest rates. And when they start going up, it's going to be a shock to the system. We are going to feel shocked by 4% interest rates. Or 5% or 6%. Something that we thought was amazing 10 years ago, we will not think is so amazing. And when you start looking at a mortgage interest rate that goes up 2 percentage points, so 5.5% for a 30-year loan, it's going to take a while for the American and indeed worldwide psyche to get used to the whole idea that interest rates are higher, that we're now making twice as big a mortgage payment each month or three times as big a mortgage payment. So you can start to understand what kind of effect this is going to have on you and on your neighbors, and why I am absolutely certain that today's all-time low mortgage interest rates will kill or at least severely maim future housing demand, at least in the short run, and why the house you buy or refinance should be the one that you plan to stay in for 15 to 30 years. I want you to pay that thing off. I want you to be in a place where there is no more mortgage payment to worry about, and you've got your equity, and you sell your house for $100,000, $150,000, $200,000, and where you move, you're trading even or nearly even because you're now at a place where you don't need such a big space. Or over time, you can add on, and so you're not worried about it. Or if you get a mortgage, it's a teeny tiny mortgage. It's 10% or 20% of the total. So you aren't feeling stressed as you go into retirement. That's the whole thing, right? We don't need a country that a third of its citizens are going into retirement with 30-year mortgages on their backs. And yet that's exactly where we are today. Exactly. I don't know how we're going to fix it, but I really, and the going's good now. So, right, what you want to do is go refinance today. You want to get off the fence. If you've got a 5% interest rate, you can trade that in for 3%. If you've got an FHA mortgage, you can streamline refinance. You want to get it while the going's good. And trust me, the going is amazing right now. This week again, historic low mortgage interest rates. Lowest that we've seen since World War II. 50, 60 years. Possibly the lowest in the world. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Happy to take your calls. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I think it's really important that we talk about how you're going to deal with this. What you're going to do to solve those problems. I'm also happy to talk about Good Black Friday as well. And here's my big, I will just go into Black Friday for just a moment. Here's my big insight into Black Friday. If you didn't walk into a store holding a smartphone so that you could double-check pricing at the drop of a hat, you probably paid 20% more than you should have. So our big thing that we were looking for, Sam and I, this weekend, were some more oversized computer monitors for the office because we just have too much. People need bigger monitors, and they need more of them. I don't know. We have like 40 computers now at our office that we're constantly managing. I shouldn't even say I am. Sam is. Anyway, he's looking for monitors, and using his PDA, was able to negotiate a 20%, I think it's 20, maybe 18% discount at one of the local retailers because he saw online they offered to match online prices, and he had his PDA, and he turned it to them, and he said, hey, match this price, and they did. So if you're not shopping these days, you're missing half the boat. The other thing I'll say about Black Friday before we head off for a little bit of a break is Cyber Monday coming. Go online, put things into your cart, and save them. Don't buy them. You may get an offer to pay even less on the item that you want simply because you've left it in the cart for 3 days. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Glink, @GLINK. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy of Duffy Real Estate of Atlanta. Rhonda, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So today I want to talk about an idea that you have, that you talk about in your shop all the time, about your house being a product. And there are five things that you think you should do to get this product ready for sale. What are they?
Absolutely. And first let me say, this isn't just as you get ready. This is not a sprint. It is a marathon. So you can continue to do this stuff. But you want to first clean. And before you clean, you want to declutter. And before you declutter, you want to depersonalize. Okay, so clean, and really a magic clean sponge. I don't know if everybody's used that before, but those are awesome.
Oh, those are great.
Those are so awesome. Anyway, decluttering means that you're getting out all of the junk that is, cluttering it up, and then depersonalizing. Take down all your family photos, that sort of thing. You want to have great curb appeal. You want people to drive by and say, wow, we must get in there. And then the last thing is you want to make sure that everything is in working order. That doesn't mean repaint everything, recarpet, but working order.
So one of the questions that I get asked all the time is, why do I have to do all this stuff to my house? Can't I just buy some sort of like insurance policy that'll let me do it, like a home warranty?
Sure, you can do that, and you can offer the home warranty when somebody has inspection items, but it is best to know where you stand, and a lot of people don't even know where they stand with their home.
You know, it's my mother, who's been a broker for years, tells a funny story about walking into a house one day to show it to somebody, one of her buyers, and there was like dirty underwear all over the floor and an unmade bed, and she's like, you know, they just walked out. Do you guys still see that? Are people that, you know, not careful?
That would be the decluttering part.
And the depersonalizing part.
That's depersonalizing.
No, that's for sure.
I've put all this on my blog, rhondaduffy.com, and you can get a lot of information about what to do, but don't overcomplicate it. Just make your home a product.
All right, Rhonda Duffy with Real Estate Insight. Don't forget to go to Rhonda Duffy's blog, rhondaduffy.com. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back. It is 36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show. Live on Sundays here, noon to 2, although in a couple of weeks we're going to fall back to our regularly scheduled time. Football will be over. Too bad. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station, or happy to pick up the cost of this call, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can also tweet me your questions at Glink, at GLINK, or send an email if you have something longer that's a little more in-depth, thinklink.com, ask Elise, and we will do our best to get you an answer in some sort of reasonable period of time. I've got to tell you, some weeks the questions come in and I'm just so overwhelmed by how many people have questions that I don't get to them all. But we do what we can here. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Joyce, welcome to the Elise Klink Show.
Hi. I live in Los Angeles, even though I'm right here in Atlanta right now visiting.
Okay.
I bought a condo
January of 2012?
Yeah. And it was a short sale, and I'm paying 4% interest right now. And I wanted to know, should I bother to refinance now because it's so soon? I mean, when January comes around again, or should I just hold off for a while?
So these are good questions, right? Because you probably heard me at the top of the show talking about how mortgage interest rates had fallen to an all-time low. Now, at 4%, tell me a little bit about what your credit looked like and sort of why you ended up at 4%.
I guess it was because of my job. I'm in sales, so my job depends on my commissions.
So the problem that you're going to have, Joyce, that many people in your situation have, is that the interest rates that I'm talking about are interest rates for people who fit into a perfect little world box, right? Not that many of us fit into the perfect world box, and you're one of those people, right? Because you are in sales. I'm sure you do very well in sales.
Mm-hmm.
You bought a short sale, but your income is variable. And do you get a draw, like a sort of a baseline draw?
Yes.
So that may or may not be enough to cover the mortgage payments in the traditional sense. to give lenders comfort. And so you use the variability of the income, which is the commission part of that, to boost you into probably what's the right category. But because of that, you may have ticked up a notch in terms of the interest rate that you're paying. Now, did you get a 15-year loan, a 30-year loan?
A 30-year loan.
Yeah. Would you be getting another 30-year loan?
Probably, because I wanted to lower my payments versus raising my payments
if right.
I had a 15-year loan.
So the 15-year loan, let's just say you now fit into, like, this perfect box, right? And let's say that the short sale, did you put any money down on the short sale?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, 20%?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just say you still have 20% equity, or maybe it's gone up because 25% equity actually makes a difference these days versus 20%. And let's say that your income is now at a level where you fit into that box. The only move that you could make would be to take the 30-year loan and turn it into a 15-year loan. That would be the only move that you could make, because that would allow you to take down your interest rate from 4% to about 2.75%.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you may come close to not paying much more than you're paying right now. So that would be the move you'd want to make. The 20-year loans go for the 30-year loan price, so there's no savings there.
Oh.
And all you do is bump up your payment, because your interest rate might fall to 3.5%, but you're shortening the loan term by 10 years. With a 15-year loan, you're shortening the loan term by 15 years. So you're saving a huge amount of money, but you get the magic interest rate bump too, or I should say decline, which will go all the way down. So that's what you have to investigate, is if you're in a place where you can actually move from a 15-year to from a 30-year to a 15-year, and then you get the bump down in the interest rate, and then it might make some economic sense. But overall, probably doesn't for you otherwise.
So, in other words, if I can't get it, then it doesn't make sense.
I think it's not going to, because if you just go from 4% to 3.5%, but you end up paying $2,000 or $3,000 in fees,
uh-huh.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. But if I can get the 15-year.
If you can get the 15-year.
Without paying all the fees?
Without paying, maybe it's, you know, $20, $30, $40 a month more.
Oh.
Or maybe not. I don't know, because I don't really know. You have to look and see. There are a whole bunch of calculators online, including at thinklink.com, where you can actually play around with it and see how much or at all if it's going to go up. But I would just say to you that if you're really concerned about paying over time, right, every week, every month, you like to know what your payments are going to be, I probably wouldn't make a move at all, because your payments will, your mortgage taxes and your insurance, excuse me, your property taxes and insurance are going to go up over the years. So that monthly nut is going to rise anyway. And if paying an extra $30-$40 a month seems overwhelming to you, even to save 15 years of payments, leave it where you are now. Just take whatever you would have paid for the closing costs, prepay your loan, and you'll probably save yourself a year or two, or try to make an extra payment a year, and you'll take the 30-year loan all the way down to 22 years or 23 years, and that'll be more savings than you would get otherwise. So there are some ways to shave this without refinancing. 404-872-0750. Joyce, I hope you have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. 42 minutes past the hour. Ray joins us on the line from Fayetteville. Hey, Ray.
Hello.
So what are you thinking about today?
Well, my question is similar to the previous lady. 2 years ago this month, we refinanced our house from a 5-6 down to a 4-1. And we went from a 30 to a 20-year. At that time, my primary consideration was in case my wife lost her job, which, in fact, is what happened.
Wow.
That gave us the lowest possible combination of factors for a lower monthly payment. But the question at this point is, is it practical for me to look at refining again? Our balance is only about 85, 86 grand.
So this is, Ray, actually it's a similar but a little bit of a different take than Joyce's question. And I'm glad you asked it, because I know there's other people who are listening to the show wondering exactly the same thing. So you've already made the move from a 30-year to a 20-year.
Correct.
So the only thing that will make sense for you is to go to a 15-year. And of the 20-year, you only have 18 years left. So you're talking about shaving 3 years of payments off, still good. Lowering the interest rate from 4.1, so you're slightly above where Joyce is, down to 2.7, 2.85. That's good.
Yeah.
That'll help you. And because you're already eating those larger payments, right? Because you're already at a 20-year.
Yes.
You won't have the same level of increase that Joyce would have had because she was going from 30 years to 15. You're only compressing what's 18 years into 15.
Uh-huh.
For you, what you'd want to look at is to go from, this is going to sound crazy, 18 years to 10 years. Or 18 years to 15 years. Like those two moves, the 18 year to 10 year would be more equivalent to what Joyce was asking about.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, you would get a huge reduction in interest rate. And I suspect you would pay less than you're paying now just by moving to the 15 year.
Ah, well, I hadn't thought about that, but that's certainly worth looking into.
It is. And at $85,000, so the question there is, can you actually afford to qualify without your wife's income?
Yeah.
And that's going to be your challenge. Like, where are your, you know, are you guys okay with your credit scores? Assuming yes.
Yeah, that's
you know,
good.
Can you qualify? You should be able to because I think your payments will go down. And again, you should go to thinklink.com to the calculators and play around with it. But that would be the move you'd want to make.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said that would be the move you would want to make, this move to a 15-year, because you get the interest rate reduction, you save 3 years of payments, you want to fold all of your costs in. So if you could go from 4.1 to, say, 3%, pay almost nothing out of pocket,
yeah,
and you're at a 15-year, that's a win. That's like a home run refinance in my book.
Okay, that helped. That clarifies a lot. You figured it out a lot quicker than it would take me.
Well, I do this every week.
Yeah, it's not like you do anything else all day, right?
Well, come on back and let me know what happens, Ray, all right? Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. 45 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. George joins us on the line from Gainesville. Hey, George.
Good morning, Denise. And my situation is even a little bit different from the last caller. We refinanced a couple years ago to a 15-year mortgage from a 30. We're at 4.375, and I'd like to be able to pay things off in about 7 years by kicking in extra money on a monthly basis next year. But I don't really want to kick up the amount that I'm financing by putting a lot of closing costs into it.
Okay, so tell me what your goal, your whole goal is 7 years?
I just want to get out of debt as soon as possible, and next year we have the potential to put an additional $1,000 a month on the mortgage.
Okay, so, George, and it's amazing, see how everybody calls in and everybody's got, like, a slightly different take on this, right? So, your deal... You refinanced last year or the year before or this year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. So you've got 13 years left. You could drop down to the 10-year loan. You could go to a 10-year loan at probably 2.75%. That would give you 1.5 percentage point reduction. And I'm pretty sure that would take you down in terms of payments because you're at 13 years going to 10 years. So it's either where you are now or less.
Uh-huh.
So now you're down to 10 years, and you think next year you're going to have an extra grand a month. Fine. Extra grand a month, you probably get the whole thing paid off in 5 years if you refinance. So for you, the deal for you to look at is to go to thinklink.com to the amortization table and to plug in what the extra payment would be if you're at a 10-year loan. But my sense is you're going to be paying at 2.75%. It's like paying nothing in interest. So almost everything you pay is going to pay down this loan. So now you're going to kick in an extra, you know, $1,000 a month. I don't know what your balance is, but it seems to me, what is it?
$90,000.
Seems to me in 5 years, it may even be less than 5 years, that whole loan is going to be paid off if you refinance down to a 10-year. So that's what you need to do. You need to go and look for a 10-year and figure out online exactly what it's going to take to get that loan paid off. But I bet you'd be even happier paying it off in 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. And still worth it if I have to roll in $2,000 or $3,000 in closing costs?
I don't think you're going to have to, but yeah. I mean, so here's my deal, right? I think that if you can manage your closing costs where your savings each month gets those closing costs paid off in a year, maybe even 18 months, you're ahead in the game, right?
Okay.
You could always trade off a little bit in interest rate, like a quarter of a percent, and go from 4.375 to 3% on a 10-year, zero or nearly zero closing costs, you'd still be able to pay it all off in 5 or 6 years with all the extra that you plan to pay off.
Okay.
So that's your challenge, is to figure out how to make those numbers work.
Okay.
All right?
Great. Thank you very much, Denise.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. And it's Elise, by the way.
Elise, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Have a happy Thanksgiving. 49 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. When we come back, we're going to take some more of your questions. I'm really glad that we had Joyce, Ray, and George on the line, because each of them thought they had the same question. But it's these little nuanced differences, right? Everybody's got a slightly different goal. Everybody's got a slightly different take on it. And going from a 30-year to a 20-year is one strategy, or a 30-year to a 15-year. And going from a 30 to a 20, 20 to a 15 is a different strategy. And a 15 to a 10, or even a 7 or a 5-year payout is a third different strategy. So understanding where you are and how you fit into this whole game of refinancings, and let me just go back to the point I made at the top of the show. If you're getting a mortgage, I actually think you should be locking in for the long run. I know there's this whole, like, pay off the debt thing, and I'm good with that if that's what you want to do. But, man, money is never going to be this cheap again. When these interest rates go up, it's going to cost you. So if you lock in today, it's cheap money for the long run. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Call in. We'll take your questions next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Every day together.
56 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me this Sunday after Thanksgiving. It's Cyber Monday tomorrow. I've got a few thoughts coming up at the top of the hour just to keep you in that shopping mode. I liked how the president invented Small Biz Saturday, or maybe he didn't, but the Small Business Association did. So we would just have Gray Thursday and Black Friday and Small Biz Saturday, and then we have today, I guess today is the day of shopping rest, so catch your breath, and tomorrow we have Cyber Monday. Wow, it's just turning back into whole consumer thing. 404-872-0750. Jan joins us on the line from Marietta. So, Jan, you're wondering also if you should refinance, right?
Right, Elise.
All right.
We refinanced our house a few years ago. Our interest rate is currently 5.35.
Uh-huh.
We have about 5 years left on the mortgage, and I'd like to get a lower interest rate, but I don't want to extend the term.
So here's the thing, Jan. You're pretty much done paying interest on this loan. All you're paying now is principal. If you look at your ratio between the interest rate and the principal you're paying that comes on your statement, you will see that when you're this far into a mortgage, you're almost at the end. So refinancing isn't going to save you anything. The only thing it might give you is a little bit of a mortgage interest deduction. But frankly, my feeling about the mortgage interest deduction is it's pretty much going away. I wouldn't count on that for too much longer. So when you're in a situation where you're almost at the end of paying down all these different mortgages, refinancing doesn't make sense. When would it make sense? If you said to me, Elise, what I really want is, I don't mind going up in the term of the loan. I really need $100,000 or $50,000. I've got to do all this work to my house. And I know that I can get it for a 15-year loan at under 3%, and it'll be 15 years, and I could just pay it off that way. Is that a good idea? I would say in spades, amazing idea. Because then you have the cash you need, and you're doing it for the 15 years, and you're paying next to nothing for it. So it's really like borrowing principal and just paying that back. But for you and for anybody with 5 years or less left on a loan, lowering the rate saves you nothing, really nothing over the long run. And all you're going to do is just add to the cost. 58 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Glink. So we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about Cyber Monday. We've got a whole bunch of questions coming up. I'll be tweeting out some links, and already have, to some stories I think are pretty cool. So follow me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to go to the Equifax Finance blog. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I've got a whole bunch of really cool stories that have just gone up on there this week. All right, coming up on 59 minutes past the hour, Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, experts, money, and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750, or tweet me. It's easy. There's no lines, whatever. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, where I am tweeting out some really interesting stories today. One from Forbes, another one from Bloomberg, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Also, you should visit the Equifax Finance blog. It's located at equifax.com. Just click on Finance blog. I manage the real estate, well, I'm managing editor for the whole thing, but I write under the real estate section. But we have some great answers to some questions for you if you're worried about what's going on with credit and bankruptcy, what's going on with the latest in the real estate market. So check it out, Equifax.com, click on the finance blog, or just go to blog.equifax.com, and I will tweet that out as well. Just so you can see what we're doing with it. But there's just so much there that I think will really help you, and want to make sure that you're really getting the kind of information that you can get that will really, you know, be life-changing. I want you to be able to do things differently. So we talk about taxes and credit and insurance, retirement and investing, real estate, and one of my favorite sections, family money. So this week I talked about, or I should say last week I talked about making the most of a short sale. And one of the reasons that I want you to think about that is because there is a mortgage fiscal cliff coming in this country. I know we talk about the regular fiscal cliff all the time and how scary it is, and taxes are going to go up, and there's just a big bill coming and we're all going to have to chip in and pay for it. But for struggling homeowners, there's a mortgage fiscal cliff that's coming because there's a tax break that is going to expire at the end of the year, December 31st, and it's caught up in the whole taxes versus spending debate that has paralyzed Washington for the last year. So think way back, 2007, right? Almost 6 years ago, Congress passed something called the Mortgage Debt Relief Act of 2007. Mortgage Debt Relief Act of 2007. And what it did was waive taxes on up to $2 million in loans that were forgiven by a lender, right? So normally, let's say you do a short sale and there's $100,000 that you're just not going to be able to repay. The lender forgives that. Normally, the IRS says, hey, that $100,000, that's a gift, that's income, you owe me tax on it. Well, since 2007, for primary residences, if you've had a short sale or foreclosure and the lender's forgiven that amount, the IRS treats it as untaxable. That's huge. I mean, think about it. The bill was extended in 2008, and it now expires December 31st. And Deutsche Bank is calling the expiration a mortgage fiscal cliff that could drag down the economy and cause more homeowners to file for bankruptcy rather than work out an agreement with their lender. Now, on November 20th, 43 state attorneys general sent a letter to Congress asking that the tax exclusion be extended. And they're really concerned that the bill's expiration is going to hurt the $25 billion robo-signing settlement that they negotiated with the top largest mortgage lenders to help borrowers, which is largely being helped through short sales and principal reduction. They believe that failure to extend this tax will tax exclusion could result in $1.3 billion in tax increases on the very families who can least afford it. Now, you can just imagine when we've still got 23% of all homeowners with mortgages underwater. They look at this and they think, whoa, I do a short sale, great. They're going to approve it. The lender's not going to come after me. Now the IRS is going to come after me. Can you imagine $100,000 in phantom income, right? This is money you didn't get being added to your total tax bill. So you might make $50,000. Now the IRS says, nope, you're really making $150,000. And we're going to tax you at whatever the marginal tax rate is for state and federal. Might be an extra 40%. So out of nowhere, with you having no more money in your pocket, you could owe the IRS and your state and the Georgia Department of Revenue $40,000. $40,000! It's a huge amount of money. That's the mortgage fiscal cliff. That's another piece of the puzzle. And when I say we're heading into another recession, these are the kinds of things. They don't even make the headlines because we're so freaked out at home and in D.C. about the tax part of it. But there are other consequences coming December 31st that we should all be very, very concerned about. 404-872-0750. Let's go to the phones. Richard joins us on the line from Smyrna. Hey, Richard, how can I help today?
Elise, thank you for taking
sure.
the call. I wanted to know, here's my situation. I filed bankruptcy chapter 7, 2011, and I'm on the other side of it now about a year and a half.
Okay.
And I owe about $42,000 on my home. I have about 13 years left to pay on it.
And what is your interest rate that you're paying?
It's enormously high, 7.625.
Okay.
So what I want to know is how long will I have to continue? I'm rebuilding my credit. How long will I have to continue before I can try and refinance?
Well, I assume you don't have an FHA loan.
I do have an FHA
loan. You do have an FHA loan.
Yes.
Well, the answer for you might be actually a lot better than you imagine.
Okay.
You should call your lender and ask for an FHA streamline refinance. They should not pull your credit. They should not pull an appraisal on the house. They should simply leave the loan in place and lower your mortgage interest rate.
Okay.
For maybe a few $100 in fees. That's what you're going for. And if you Google FHA Streamline Refinance HUD.gov, it will take you to the page where you can read all about it. I'll also tweet it out if you follow me on Twitter. If not, just Google the way I've just explained it.
FHA
Streamline Refinance HUD.gov, because what you want is the information on HUD.gov, not on the million other mortgage loan sites that talk about FHA Streamline Refinance.
Okay.
And you should be able to get that lowered because they should not pull a credit history and they should not pull an appraisal.
Okay.
So why don't you try that? And if that doesn't work, then you're going to have to probably wait a while until your credit cures.
How long will that take?
Well, I don't know, but you should be able to get this done.
Okay.
So, and when you talk to the lender, you want to say, hey, I'm interested. I don't want to change any terms. I don't want you to pull credit history, credit score, don't need you to pull an appraisal. I just want the FHA streamline refinance.
Okay.
All right? And let me know how that goes. But I think it should go pretty well for you. 14 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Paul joins us on the line from Gainesville. So, Paul, we're going to move off of refinances for a moment. What happened to you?
Well, I went by my neighbor's house to drop off some bread and some cookies, and I handed it to him and hardly said anything because they knew what I was doing. And I turned to walk down the sidewalk to the driveway, and their pit bull, I guess, pushed the lady and her daughter out of the way and came running out. My back was to it. I didn't see him, and he like body blocked me, and I saw who it was, and I go, I know whose dog that is, and all of a sudden he's just attacking me, tearing me up. And
oh, my God, that was horrible. When did this happen?
2 weeks ago.
Were you seriously injured?
Well, yeah, I am. I was bleeding like a stuffed pig. And I couldn't hit it with no end in sight. And I got a couple doors down, grabbed a big stick, and started beating the pit bull. Finally, he let go. But
what did the owners do? They didn't even call to their dog? They didn't do anything?
They were in it. They were all in trying to get that dog off of me. And he wouldn't bite them because it was their dog, but he wouldn't do what they said either. Pit bulls, I think, kind of need to have a man around the house, you know.
I think pit bulls need to be chained, but that's just another issue.
Or annihilated. But anyway, the part that is the problem, I thought, well, no big deal. Insurance company will pay the bill. Insurance companies, it's got an exclusion for any kind of dog. It's like a pit bull or a Rottweiler or have any of that in their breed. And then they say they don't pay anything.
Well, surely the owners of the pit bull would make good on your insurance. Well,
they say they will, and they're good, decent people. But, I mean, they're wage earners, and I'm looking at a $30,000 bill probably.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have health insurance?
No, I lost it when I lost my business.
Oh, my gosh.
I was in construction.
Wow.
One little side thing, though, I got my personal house refied at 2.59 and had horrible credit from getting being a builder.
Well, that's nice, but you've got a $30,000 health care bill.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much. The builder's still coming in, but that's the estimate, close to 30.
Oh, my gosh. This could ruin you.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something.
I'm out of work, so, I mean, you ain't kidding.
Yeah, no, I understand. I mean, now, if you're out of work, maybe you qualify for Medicaid. And so you should pursue that. But I don't know if because you didn't apply for Medicaid before, if it would cover this. But
I got turned down because I still had a few assets.
Well, you're going to have to do something you don't want to do here, Paul.
Yeah.
Because you like these people. But if they don't come forward with some cash for you, you're going to have to sue them.
Yeah, but if they don't come forward, it's because they don't have it. I can sue them all day long, and that's not going to...
But you can put a lien, if you win, you can put a lien on their house. And so whatever value there is in their house or their other assets...
Their house about 10 years ago, it probably would have an equity, but right now they pay like $162. It's underwater.
Yeah. But someday it may not be.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're going to probably have to shoulder, I don't know how you're going to do it. If you're out of work and you don't qualify for Medicaid and you can't get any help here and you don't have enough assets, you may end up in bankruptcy.
Wow.
Because then those debts will get discharged. But
the work that I could pick up, I can't do it now. And I'm trying to go through therapy because chewed down like through my muscle, my arm, you know.
Oh my gosh! That you can also have, you can file a police report and make them put down the dog.
Oh, they did that. Well, I mean, they were going to. I think he was put down a few days ago, but I didn't verify. Nobody was sticking up for the dog. I mean, it was so vicious and brutal.
I mean, my heart's breaking for you. I don't even know how to advise you at this point because it's clear you like your neighbors. And it doesn't even matter. I mean, it's this dog, these people, it's destroyed your year. I mean, it's going to take you a long time to recover. And you've got, I don't know how you're going to get to work and do all these things. What can I do to help?
Well, I heard rumors in the past just that insurance companies to put things like that in a contract, but they wouldn't hold up. If you just read it in plain English, it's pretty clear.
Well, yes, they can exclude things like dogs, specific kinds of dogs. Just like when you buy life insurance, they say if you skydive, we're not going to, and you die, we're not covering that.
Yeah.
Because you take excessive risk.
Yeah.
And these kinds of dogs are known to be excessive risks. Not all of them, for sure.
How many people with pit bulls have read their insurance contract?
I bet that not many.
Yeah.
I bet not many, but you're going to pay a huge price for this, for their negligence, both in keeping the dog, both in
keeping... My own family does.
Pardon?
They've always treated me better than my own family does.
I know, but yeah. they were negligent with regard to their animal.
Yeah.
So I can hear how much you like them and respect them, and I'm sure they will try to help you in any way they can.
They didn't have that pit bull owner mentality that is so despicable, but because they thought they were rescuing a pup, they just didn't realize it was going to grow into a pit bull.
Yeah. It is a tragic situation, Paul, that has there's no happy ending here, and there's no good news I can give you and no magic bullet. I mean, you can talk to a lawyer and see if that contract's enforceable, but I guarantee that any insurance company worth its salt wouldn't put it in if they hadn't had their team of high-priced lawyers look at it and figure that out. And so you're going to pay a very high price, both physically, because it's going to take you a long time to recover, mentally, and of course, financially. And it's just a great lesson for everybody out there who has a dog. Make sure you understand what your liability and your homeowner's insurance policy covers, because Paul could, you know, if you were inclined, you could sue this family and probably win a huge judgment. The fact that they have nothing is a really tragic break as well. Let me know how you're doing, okay? 21 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
There'll be no value in the strength of walls that are gone.
27 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I don't know about you, but I've just got chills from Paul's call. And I think his warning to all pit bull owners to take a look and see what your homeowner's insurance policy says is a great call. And since not being a dog owner, I don't have it, but just absolutely chills for that. All right, let's do our WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. Value today, $199. It includes a maintenance agreement for two complete HVAC tune-ups for your home, courtesy of Shoemate Air Conditioning and Heating, and, even more useful, a Kroger's $50 gift card. We're going to give that away, $199, to the fifth caller on our prize pack line, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She's going to take your call. 404-741-0750. It's 27 minutes past the hour. You are listening to the Elise Glink Show. When we come back, we've got a whole bunch of questions we're going to get to, a little more about refinancing and what's going on with homeowners struggling. But there's hope out there, folks, and we'll talk about that too. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 1:36 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to The Elise Glink Show. Live on Sundays 12 to 2, although soon, very soon, we will be shifting back an hour, our very own time shift at the end of football season. So go back to 11 to 1. Until then, though, times are going to be a little bit, we'll be here for another week or two. 404-872-0750. If you're not following me on Twitter, you're missing half that conversation. So at Glink, at GLINK. And I'll tweet out again the stories from Forbes and Bloomberg that we were talking about earlier in the show, which I think are so important, just key to what's going on right now. Let's go back to the phones. Peter joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, Peter.
Hey.
What's going on?
I think I'm in a little bit of a gray area with the refinancing thing, mm-hmm. and I've toyed around with it a bit in my mind, so I figured I'd ask your opinion. I got 10 years, I did about 9 months ago, I refied to 10 year at, I think it's right around 4. And
4% interest 9 months ago?
It was about 4, I believe.
What?
On a 10 year.
Why? Okay, well, let's talk about that for a moment, because that's just, even 9 months ago, that's really high. So, what's with your, do you have like a
zero?
Pardon?
That's part of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What did you just say?
The closing cost was pretty much zero. Was part of it. I didn't pay anything, and I'd gone down from like a 5.
Still, what kind of equity do you have in the property, or what kind of credit history?
$60,000 left to pay, and I think it's probably got quite a bit of equity in it at this point.
Okay, and your credit is okay?
Credit's great.
Did you shop it around?
I haven't shopped it around at all recently, just because I had just done that about, like I said, 9 months to a year ago.
All right.
I'd like to drop it down, but I don't want to spend a whole lot. I don't want to extend my time.
Yeah.
And we're paying about $500 extra down each month, and I think we'll have it paid off at this rate in 4 to 5 years.
So it doesn't pay for you to do anything. If you're really paying it off in 4 to 5 years... I don't know. Maybe you can, for zero closing costs, go down to 3.5% or 3.25%. But there's something wacky about your loan at a 10-year at 4% 9 months
that
ago.
That's been lower, huh?
I don't think you shopped that around, did you?
No, just because it was right through the same bank and there was no cost. So it was just like, hey, you can drop at a point if you want. And I went, okay.
Right. So what you might have wanted to do was shop around. My sister, 9-10 months ago, did a 10-year loan and got 2.75%.
Wow.
Even if you paid a little bit in costs, you might have had, you know, maybe you would have traded that off and gotten a 3% instead of 4%.
Gotcha.
So the thing I'm trying to say here, and it's for everybody else listening too, if you don't talk to three or four different lenders every time you do this, you are leaving money on the table. So you're in great shape. You're paying extra month, and you're going to pay this off in 4 to 5 years. And the extra difference is maybe going to be over the life of that lifespan. Maybe you're talking about $5,000 or $6,000. But you've left that on the table because you didn't shop it around.
Gotcha.
You just said, oh, they're offering me this great deal. I should just bite. You could have taken a half a day and called around a few places and said, you know what, it's the best deal I can get. I don't want to put any money out. Or you would have said, oh, you could have gone back to them and said, you know, that's good, but lender ABC is actually offering 3%, no closing costs. Either match them or I'm crossing the street. And that's the kind of negotiation that the just basic shopping around is going to do for you, Peter.
Gotcha. Well, fortunately, we won't have to go through this again because we're pretty much staying where we're at. So.
No, I love that. Listen, it's it's all good. I'm not saying it's not good. What I'm saying is I always want everybody to get the very best deal they can, right? All these years I've been on this radio station, I probably have saved people millions of dollars. And I just think it's a badge of honor, right? So if I could save you the extra $5,000 or $6,000, I want to do that. So here's what I want you to do. Call to three different lenders. Try a big lender, try a small lender, try a local credit union. Tell them you're looking for a 10-year at 3% with no closing costs. Or their very best deal. Don't even spread it. Don't even give it to them. Say to them, what's your very best deal for a 10-year with somebody with tons of equity and perfect credit? And see what they say.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to judge. Now, I know you don't want to go back at 10 years. You know, you've already paid down 9 months. But it's irrelevant because you'll be able to, you're already on schedule to pay it off in 4 to 5 years. So now you should be able to pay it off on the 4-year side instead of the 5-year side.
Sure. So you think it's worth playing around with then is what you're saying. I might as well get some information on it.
I think that you can't make a decision until you know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is go shopping around. Because then you'll know. You'll know whether it's worth the time and effort to do it, or, this is money you're not going to really recoup because it's already been 9 months and that's where the recoupment would come into play.
Gotcha.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Happy Thanksgiving. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Charlotte joins us on the line from Covington. Is that right, Charlotte?
That's right.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So what's going on today?
I am the first backup offer on a property that is already in escrow, and it looks like it's going to go through. But I'm wondering if after it goes through and he has the property and everything, how long legally does he have to hold on to that by short sale rules before he can sell it? Because I'm thinking of, you know, making him an offer since, you know, he's going to be able to go through with it.
Okay, so back up a little bit. There's somebody who's buying a property, and your offer is number two in line, but you think that offer is going to go through?
Correct.
And now you want to make the person who's buying the property an offer?
Correct.
Why would he turn around and sell it to you?
He may be an investor, and if I offer him enough money, he may be willing to let go of it.
And why do you want this property so badly?
Because I really, 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 really like it.
To live in, to invest, or what?
Nope, to live in.
Okay, so have you spoken to the agent?
I have, and he has not gotten back in touch with me. I've told him that I would like to hear from, I call him Mr. Pending, that I would like to hear from Mr. Pending and see if he has any interest in selling it before he, you know, makes the expense of moving and making any improvements and everything. It just makes sense to me that, you know, if he has any interest in that, that before he moves in would be a good time to broach the subject.
And were you represented by an agent in this offer process?
Yes, by the listing agent, which is the same agent that has this, you know, Mr. Pending.
Okay, and your agent's not calling you back?
Correct, with that information. Yeah, he's not been particularly cooperative the whole time.
Okay, and so why do you think that is?
I suspect it might be shenanigans. I think that, you know, he probably already knew this person and that they're, you know, that he's working very heavily on his side to push this through.
Okay.
And I am aware that you know, he had, oh, and this is another question I have for you, that, it, you know, it has to be finished by the end of the year. And if it's not, does the present owner, the people that live in the home, do they have the option to pull that off of short sale if it's in escrow now and it doesn't finish by the end of the year?
Well, it depends on what the purpose is.
To get him, the owner that has it now is obviously getting out from under a huge mortgage.
Yeah, well, the reason that you'd want it finished by the end of the year is what I talked about at the top
yes,
of the year.
I understand that.
Right,
understand.
The mortgage fiscal cliff. So they don't sell it by the end of the year. They may or may not get to have it excluded from IRS taxes. So the incentive
that.
Is to get it finished.
Correct, but does he have an option if it doesn't get finished?
Yeah, he could pull it off.
The market.
He could pull it off. But he's not going to turn around and sell it to you unless you're going to pay full price and pay off the mortgage. He may not be able to get the bank to reapprove it.
Right, I understand that. I was just curious if that was...
Charlotte, I have to tell you, it's... You know, you have a couple of options, but I really... I'm going to give you a warning, okay? The options are to call the managing broker, which your agent works for...
Okay.
And say, hey, Mr. Managing Broker, my agent is not responding. Here's the situation. Here's what I'm interested in. All I need is a yes or no.
Okay.
But, Charlotte, here's the warning. If the answer is no, you got to back off because I got to tell you, it's a little creepy. I know you really want this house, but somebody else is buying it, and even if your agent knew that, I mean, it sounds like the agent badly managed your expectations in the situation. But it's not looking like you're going to get this house, so I want you to be able to pull back emotionally from it and figure out what else you're going to do with your money, just in case you don't get this house.
Right. I understand that, but it was such a wonderful opportunity financially that I'm willing to pay more than you know, say $50,000 more than this guy is going to be able to purchase it for.
But why didn't you tell your agent that in the beginning?
I did. I was a day late on getting my offer in, and so he had already supposedly presented it to the mortgage people.
Right.
And he already had that one in, and so mine had to fall in line as a backup.
Right. So that's just how it falls sometimes.
Right. I understand.
So you can call the mortgage the person who's the, not the mortgage person, but you can call the managing broker and you can say, can you please help my broker understand that I am willing to make this buyer an offer of $50,000 in cash if he will turn over the contract to me or, you know, if he will just resell it to me right after he buys it.
Yeah, see, that's what I want to do is because I think buying a contract, you're getting into a big can of worms there. So I would like to purchase it.
The whole thing is a big can of worms. Don't fool yourself.
Yeah, but less of a can of worms. And
okay, it's three-quarters of a can of worms, Charlotte, but I mean it's wormy, okay? It's just wormy. I'm just telling you the way to handle this without seeming really creepy is to call the managing broker and just ask for him to get involved. Set up a face-to-face with your agent Your agent can't be that busy that he doesn't have the time to meet with you and the managing broker, sit down and say, look, I don't know why you're not calling me back, but I have real money that I'm willing to spend for this property, and I'd like you to find out if your other client, not that this is too big a conflict of interest for you, would be interested in a cash payment of some sort to just buy this house, close it, and then sell it to me.
Right. How long does he have to hold on to it after he closes before he would be able to sell the property? Is it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days?
I don't think there's any specific length of time that's that crucial here. But you're jumping ahead of the game here.
No, I'm thinking there's got to be a...
Investors can flip properties right away if they want to.
They can from a short sale?
Yeah.
From a B of A short sale?
Yeah.
Resell it 2 days after he gets it?
If they want to, they can. But
very good, okay.
If he only holds it for 2 days, he's going to pay, you know, full... He won't pay capital gains tax long-term. He'll pay short-term income tax on whatever money you pay him, and he may say, for 10 grand, that's just not worth it.
Right.
So, again, I'm telling you, to call the managing broker, set up a face-to-face meeting, tell them what you're trying to do, and understand that if they say no, they mean no. And you're just going to have to go, you know what? There's going to be another house that I am going to love even more than this one, and I can promise you that that is the case. Even if this is the most special house in the world, there will be another house that you fall in love with, like you fall in love with this one. But if the answer is no, you got to promise me you're going to back away slowly because you just can't interfere. You came in second, and you're just going to have to live with that. And I promise, either way, it's going to be okay. 404-872-0750. It is 50 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glaze. Stay tuned. I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 1:55, so next week we fall back to our regularly scheduled 11 to 1. Football goes away. Season's been great, but it's time to get back to business. Real estate business and mortgage business and money. So we'll be talking money, real estate, and the economy starting at 11 o'clock next week, 11 to 1. On News Talk WSB. Hope you can join us. Appointment listening. 404-872-0750. Rochelle joins us on the line now from Douglasville. Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So you've got a problem with some valuable property, it sounds like.
I don't know how valuable it is, but I have an issue with the highway being built through my backyard. Initially, they wanted to take part of the backyard. I fought with them for about 6 years. Now they have me scheduled for displacement, meaning they're going to buy the property for the highway. But the issue here is, they told me they would tell me what they would give me for the property in August, September, the beginning of November, and they keep pushing it back. Meanwhile, I've been approved for another house. I had to get approved with the house I'm in and for the second home, and I qualified for that. My issue is, should I go ahead and take advantage of these low interest rates or wait it out and maybe lose the opportunity? Because a lot of these houses on the market, I think there are not as many coming out at the great deals that they were.
So I would say to you, in terms of mortgage interest rates, no issue whatsoever. They're going to be low for a long time to come, well through next year. But number of houses on the market at great prices, that I do think is a bit of a problem. So I would buy the house that you want, even if you've got a second home. When you move into it, you can always refinance.
Okay.
You can get the lower interest rate at the end of next year. May not be quite as low as it is now, but it's going to be pretty low. What do they offer you for a second home these days?
3.2%.
Oh, my goodness. Do this deal.
I'm just afraid to have two mortgages.
I understand.
How the state is making up their mind.
They're going to buy, they will buy your house, but at 3.2%, wow, that is an amazing deal. So you probably should get a real estate attorney to hang out with you a little bit, and they can contact the highway department for you, and maybe they can get them to move a little bit faster. That's one way to go, and I would probably try that. But this sounds like a great opportunity, and I know it's nerve-wracking having two mortgages, but I don't think you're going to have two mortgages for long. And I think a real estate attorney can help make that happen faster, worth his weight or her weight in gold. If you don't have a real estate attorney, go to the Atlanta Bar Association, ask for the head of the real estate committee, and that person should be able to guide you to somebody who can make this happen for you. All right, guess what? The music's playing. It's 58 minutes past the hour. That means our time is up. Next week, 11 to 1. No longer 12 to 2, 11 to 1. Be there, be square. In the meantime, join me on Twitter and at thinklink.com. I'm Elise Klink. Have a great Sunday, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.